Hello, and welcome to Geeks Are Wired podcast, where we talk about video games, movies, TV, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. This week, we have our host, Bill.
Hello.
We've got Anthony.
Hi.
And me, Joey Evans.
Hello, Joey.
If you'd like to contact us, you can send us an email at geeksarewired@gmail.com, or you can give us a call at 801-896-4335. That spells geek.
Oh, the last four do.
The last four do, yeah.
Yeah, the last four digits. We also have a Patreon where you can contribute to us at patreon.com/geeksarewired. You can get our podcast early, gain access to Discord channels, and maybe eventually we'll do like live streams.
Yeah! We are going to do at least a live recording before the end of the year.
I was wondering if you remembered that.
I do.
That's a hard deadline there.
Well, I wanted to make it more of a hard deadline, but he wouldn't let me.
Well, yeah, I thought you wanted to make it less hard. You wanted to make it like sometime in the future, and I kept on like in the next month.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
I pushed it out to the end of the year, and I hard stopped at the end of the year.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's everything, right? Yeah.
Well, that's the important intro stuff. Yeah. That's the normal rigmarole.
Rigmarole.
It's an old person term.
Oh.
Old people like me say rigmarole. We used to say it when we were younger.
When we were younger.
And now we're old, so now we say it when we're older.
Words by Bill.
Rigmarole.
What is that? Et cetera, et cetera?
Stuff like that.
Okay.
Or the, you know, the consistent, the normal, the... We should probably Google it before...
Probably. We might need to cut this whole thing.
No, we're just going to...
It's a whole new thing.
Yeah.
In the odd words corner.
A lengthy and complicated procedure. Rigmarole.
Oh.
And now that's the name of the episode.
Is it an actual word?
Yes.
I thought it was just like slang. I guess slang is words too.
I'm like, that's how words get in the dictionary. Consistent usage and...
That's how Muggle got in the dictionary.
That's how supercalifragilisticexpialidocious got in the dictionary.
I hate that word. I can't say it.
Dictionary isn't that long of a word, Anthony.
Oh, you're right.
There's fake words that actually make it in the dictionary.
Yeah, Muggle.
No. Like, legit fake words.
Okay, what's a fake word?
Is this like the paper cities?
Gravy.
Gravy?
Actually, gravy was an accidental word that made it in the dictionary.
How was an accidental?
It's taken... Yeah. Now we're going to some other side topic. So, gravy... What somebody ended up reading a French cookbook, and they put it in when they spelled it into
English,
translate it.
Yeah,
they misspelled it.
Oh, what was it supposed to be spelled like?
Grainy.
Grainy.
Yes. Grainy. What or grain was things that you just put on your just extras with your stuff with your food.
Hmm.
So we could have grainy on our Thanksgiving table. But now
it's gravy.
Gravy.
I like the word. I like gravy more.
Yes.
Grainy just makes me think it's either like the grain of the wood or
sand,
wheat.
I was thinking sand.
Oh,
yeah.
The first thing I thought of was like wheat, and then I thought of the wood, and then you thought of sand.
Yeah, I was thinking like it was gravy. You know how it has or grit. I guess it's gritty.
It can be, but generally, like most gravies that people have, at least in
what's it could. I mean,
yeah, I know. Most people's gravies, though, are really thin. So.
Sad. Thick.
Sick.
No, thick. Sad. It'd be thick.
Thick.
Yeah, I think gravies need to be thick, like soup. If they're thin, it's more like a cereal.
I don't even go like soup.
I
thick.
Was
I mean,
wondering if you
thicker.
Were going to go into that. I was afraid.
These are important distinctions, man.
Okay, I guess we'll talk about that now.
We're going to talk
we're
about
now
this
now. Out of tangent corner. We'll go back. Don't worry.
We're down at the rigmarole.
So the BBC launched a new site on the dark web. It's a mirror, right? Just a mirror of the BBC network?
Yes.
Okay. And by dark web, this means the Tor network?
Correct.
Okay.
The thing that you always hear on your... If you've never heard of the dark web, or you may have... From the famous TV or various TV shows where, like, this is where the bad things happen.
So I thought the Tor was just, like, a proxy. Like, is it just, like, the normal web, but then there's stuff on there that's not on the web?
So
it can act as a proxy. So there's entry and exit nodes, but there's also nodes within the Tor network. And so you can use it as a proxy and just traverse the Tor network for anonymizing yourself, but you can also just hit one of the entry nodes and then you can browse the Tor web. They have their own protocol called the .onion protocol, and so all of their sites end in .onion instead of .com or .net.
Or .io, or basically everything
exactly
else.
Exactly, any other top-level domain. They just have .onion, and there's multiple versions of .onion. I think V2 and V3 are pretty popular. And they have, like, they're based on a hashing algorithm. And so if you want a nice name, you have to have something generate some key pairs until it finds one that hashes into something human readable. Or if you're a big company, you can spend a whole bunch of money hashing a whole bunch of them and you can get a nice one like the BBC did.
Yes.
Oh, that was you I was talking about that with. I remember now.
And Facebook has an even nicer one.
Yes. Oh, Facebook?
They used an entire data center to crunch theirs.
So what's nice about this is they ended up making this so places like BBC Arabic, BBC Persian, and BBC Russia, and especially where China ends up blocking a lot of stuff from the internet, they made it so these countries that their internet isn't free and open for everyone, so you have the maximum amount of knowledge and growth possible available to you.
So that still requires a Tor node inside of that country, right, though? But then you have to...
Thing about Tor nodes, they're everywhere.
I know, but wouldn't they just block
they do
Tor
need
traffic?
To be able to get outside of the country. So, but they can VPN or proxy or
oh,
Tor
I guess
node.
I VPN.
That's technically what Tor does anyways. Is
yeah, but they still have to be able to hit one of those nodes is what Anthony's saying.
Yeah.
So if they find out where the nodes are, they could block them, but most people have access to VPN or proxies if they really look.
Okay, yeah, that was it.
And also to take them all down, you know, unlike the internet where, you know, you can, certain countries have a legitimate off switch, and also the fact that, like, countries are blocking certain access, certain things,
mm-hmm.
to block the Tor net or the dark web is way more complicated.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to be open and all this. So it's funny that the dark web has become our choice for actual free information available to anybody.
I kind of like the idea of alternative internets. I don't like the idea of fragmented internet, though. And so right now, there's Usenet, the internet, and then there's Tor. And so there's kind of three big webs out there.
Is Usenet the one? That's the first one, right?
Usenet's the precursor to the internet.
Yeah, it just turned 50.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. The internet's 50 years old last week. Yeah, it was last week.
That's pretty cool, man. And it's still better for, like, downloading things.
Mm-hmm.
What's old is new again.
Yeah. Actually, so this isn't in the show notes, but this is, I thought it was quite entertaining. The record sales are up. They're better than everybody else.
Record, like vinyl?
Yes.
Yeah.
For physical copies?
For physical copies.
Yes.
Podcasts or, you know, radio stories in an audio form are an extreme rise, radio programming. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the 20s are awesome. Are awesome.
The 20s.
Is that when vinyl came out?
Yeah. Well, I don't know when vinyl, but I was thinking that, you know, the 1920s, hey, vinyl and radio programs. The 2020s, vinyl and radio programs.
Hey, that is funny. Radio just has a wider reach now. I mean, we're on a radio program, essentially.
I know. And it's convenient. You listen to it when you want to. Even
exactly. The future's so much better.
Yeah.
You know, no buttons on your phone. You can't really hang it up anymore. You can't, I mean, people call it unrolling the window still.
Yeah.
These things are going to stick with us forever.
When was records? Did you find it?
Oh, that's what I was doing.
Oh, I was like, I thought you looked like you had it.
No, I am looking it up, but I was trying to, and like how saving is the save icon, like a floppy disk.
Oh, yeah.
And when people say they're talking on the phone, they still hold up like they're on the phone, like with their pinky and thumb.
Well, that is still where the speaker and the mic is.
Yeah, but it's not even a flip phone. And like,
yeah, someone told me today that the banana used to be what looked like a phone, right? That was the most phone-like food item, but now it's a Pop-Tart.
Yeah,
and it did look like a banana for
a long time.
Yeah, like older than most people.
Yeah, I mean, originally you had like the separate handset and mic, but it quickly became, you know, like an actual thing that you hold with one hand and had both of them on there, and it hung onto that until today. I mean, if you buy a handset or if you have a phone at work, it still looks like
a home.
That.
Yeah, a landline phone.
Yeah, it's very popular design. So the Tor domain name for BBC News is BBC News V2VJTPSUY.onion.
Yes.
Jeez.
It's a nice, short, memorable name.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook has one, too. Let me find that real quick. They had a new data center that they were about to turn on. And they had a couple of weeks before they actually needed it enabled. And so they used it to crunch an onion address as well. But theirs is very nice. It's really long.
I hadn't found it. I thought you were.
Okay. So.
Oh, records.
Back to the records thing.
Back to records.
Back to old.
It says it coexisted with the phonograph cylinder.
Oh.
From the late 1880s, and
yes.
It basically superseded it by 1912.
So 1912 is your answer?
Well,
sort of.
Kind of creation.
Let's just say late 1800s or very early 1900s. I don't know when they were first mass-produced.
But still, the 1920s, you know, the great time to buy records. You have all your music, 2020s, great time to buy records.
Does that mean we're going to have a really bad recession in about 10 years?
Buckle up.
I'm not saying anything. I don't know anything, actually.
All right, and then when did the cars start getting better? Oh, crap.
Hey, they had electric cars a long time ago, too. They just didn't go as far.
No, those are actually the first kind of cars.
Yeah.
They're the first reliable cars. But
they just weren't
easily
mass-produced.
What I was saying was that cars were getting better in the 1920s, too, and they kind of are right now. They're getting all kinds
That's
of
true.
New features.
You're just going to start tracking me with that, too. Tesla, they're releasing their first truck in November this month. Forget the date, but apparently it's the same date that was on...
Speaking of November.
That's what the month is. The same date that's on some sci-fi robot movie. I forget. I'm going to kick myself as soon as I look it up.
Interesting.
I know. It's a big one.
So, sidetracking back to Tor.
Yay. Yes.
Facebook has Facebook Core www.i.onion. And so people say that it stands for Facebook's Core World Wide Web Infrastructure.
Interesting. So they have all of these other websites, though, that they ran through.
Yeah, so they build the encryption keys for all of these things to get the address. That's how the server's handshake is like a public-private key. And so now there's a new type of onion address called V3 that's even longer. It's like 30-something characters. Most people don't remember these at all. They end up bookmarking them. There's some dark web search engines that people register with. And then there's a couple of Wikipedia-type websites on Tor that are essentially indexes for all the different websites. It's not as navigable as the normal web.
Nice. Yeah. I played around with it. And that's the other thing also would be a lot of people are like, I can't get to it or don't know how to get to it. The thing is, there's apps for it. It's usually the Firefox browser.
Yeah, there's a... What's it called? There's a name for the Firefox browser.
Tor browser?
Yeah, I think it
probably
is. I'm pretty sure it's just Tor browser.
Because that one just automatically connects to the Tor network, right? Like, you don't have to do a whole lot?
It brings you into the Tor network, so you become a node. You're thinking, you connect, you're a node.
Yeah, but you don't necessarily have to share anything. Like, you can just be, read-only, basically. Like, I don't think you have to relay traffic but maybe you do. I don't know.
No, you don't have to be a node to browse Tor. You can just view it.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So,
yeah, you
be
really,
a leech.
Yeah, you
you're a leecher.
Yeah, you're connecting into a second internet, essentially. You don't have to be the servers or the switches or the gateways. And I really recommend against being one, because people sometimes do terrible things on Tor.
Yeah. Like bad stuff.
That's why you have protection.
Well, that doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. If they track, like, because they can track where the traffic's going. And if it's like...
To a point. That's the other thing about Tor, is that it adds a lot more anonymity
like
to it.
It's obfuscated, but if they really want
to... Heavily, compared to just regular internet.
I know, but if they really want to track you down, they could.
Yeah, you really don't want to be like an entry or an exit node. Being a middle node is less bad, because it's harder to track that traffic.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the really bad stuff ends up hitting, like, the exit nodes, because you're exposed to the internet, and they'll just browse their terrible normal internet websites through your exit node.
Mm-hmm. It's great.
Yeah. It's just like the regular internet. Don't click the sites. Go to places you trust.
I don't know, man. I love talking to strangers on the internet.
Oh, that speaking of stuff that you were told never to do, you know, don't talk to strangers. That's how you meet people and talk to people on the internet and play games. Don't get into strangers' cars. How else am I going to get around?
Also, I really enjoy paying people money to over the internet via, like, credit card. I like giving out my credit card number for services. That's the best.
And to, you know, random stranger drivers, too.
Well, I mean, that system is solid, though, because there's this, you know, assumption and, like, this unspoken agreement that they won't murder you because you're going to give them a bad review if they do.
Yeah.
It's good.
But they may give you a bad review, too.
If I'm dead, though, I don't really care.
Oh, true.
So, internet things that cost money and companies that you can give your credit card to over the internet. HBO.
Soon.
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 We're going to that one now. Okay.
We're going to jump all the way down to that with the streaming wars happening. So soon, HBO is going to combine all of their stuff into something called HBO Max.
What makes HBO Max better than the other HBO things like HBO Go or just HBO Now or HBO?
You ready?
Yeah.
It will exist. The others are just getting shut down.
Oh, okay. So they're going the Google route. They're like, we have a bunch of things, but they're actually consolidating them all into a new thing instead of just murdering the favorite.
Yes.
Oh, man. HBO sounds like a solid company.
I know.
So it's $15 a month, which is pretty steep for...
Oh, it's the same price as the other HBO stuff.
Yeah, but it's pretty steep for a streaming service. I mean, what's Disney launching at? Like $6.99?
Close to that.
Seven. Yeah, $6.99,
and
$7.
They have a huge, very nice catalog.
The Apple, ones also launches for that price, too.
For $5.
Yeah, for $5.
Yeah, see, so those are pretty dang good.
And
I mean,
Netflix is, you know, the more popular one's $13.
Right, but Netflix has, I mean, they're a powerhouse. They spend like $4 billion a year on
you forget
making
stuff. Okay, yes, Disney has a large back catalog and lots of stuff. And there is some there's plenty of quality in there too. But HBO has been doing this for so much longer. They already dealt with the streaming issues. Because remember when Game of Thrones first came around, everyone wanted to stream it day one at the exact moment it was on the air?
That's a good point. But
HBO has that locked down. They're better than anyone else.
You don't think Disney, who owns Hulu, has streaming figured out at this point?
They don't know how to do live. Hulu still has that issue. Even with their... And their live one is, what, like $30? $40?
I actually read a while back that they purchased a company that was doing... They were specialized in live streaming for sports. And the company was specializing in, like, 3D stuff. So they would set up, like, cameras all over a stadium, and they could essentially do, like, the Matrix bullet time stuff for, like, baseball. And so... Depending on what view you wanted, and then they also had like some 3D cams that were like in the audience or something. So they might have some live stuff figured out from that.
Okay. I can see that then. But I'm still going with HBO. I think has the quality. They definitely don't have the same mentality as Netflix. So Netflix has this, like, oh, put out a big show and then have something like Friends or Frasier or whatever, something that you're going to fall back on that has, like, a million seasons that you're just going to run in the background and stay with us. And they are also, HBO Max has their extended catalog with licenses with, wow, they actually have Friends, Big Bang Theory, South Park, Doctor Who, Rick and Morty, and more. HBO Max has a lot of actually big popular things already that aren't on HBO.
I think I'm on board, man.
Yeah, as soon as I said Rick and Morty, that help out?
Yeah, a little bit.
Man, they actually have the big name. I didn't realize all of the big names they had. I just knew they had some of the big ones.
You know, HBO's a smart company, though. I mean, they saw cable dying, and so they're like, let's see what the streaming thing's about.
So this is their second time fighting with cable, because they tried to pull this before, and they're like, we're going to do this side thing, and you guys are just going to deal with it. And cable went, no. And they're like, well, I guess we're not that powerful yet. Now, cable and Dish are losing their money. They're like, no, we're doing the side thing, and you're going to deal with it. And they say no, and they're like, we don't care. You're going to deal with it.
Yeah, now, like, even if the cable or satellite networks completely cut them off, they still have people to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll probably get more money out of it, too.
Well, at this point, if you pick, like, any of the big streaming companies, you know, like Amazon, Hulu, I mean, HBO is probably pretty far up there for content now, or Netflix, you have a huge backlog. You have a lot of media that will keep you entertained for, you know, endless hours. And so what's the point of going back to cable other than, you know, you have too much money and you want to give a lot of it away?
Yeah. Or you want the random channel or something.
Yeah,
but even
and more ads.
Or
yeah.
Like what people usually buy like satellite for is for sports.
But now you can get those with streaming.
Yes. Well, okay.
For
so
less.
With that. So yeah, NBA's, you know, okay. Actually, we're talking about the ads. That's something else HBO said that they will eventually introduce. Yes.
I don't know if I like that. I heard Netflix tried ads a while ago for their own stuff, and people, like, flipped out about that.
Hulu's gotten rid of it and brought it back.
Hulu has, like, the free tier or the cheaper tier, though.
No, it's not free. It used to be free.
But they have, like, don't they have, like, a free or a paid tier that has no ads as
correct.
Well?
Yes.
It has ads on, like, a few items, but
oh, yeah,
mostly it is ad-free.
I forgot, there's the streaming rights. You still have stuff like Grey's Anatomy or some of these extremely high popular shows that Hulu can broadcast. They still have to put an ad at the beginning and the end of the show.
You see, I kind of like this. This is the free market making these streaming companies fight, and it's going to come out with, hopefully, the best streaming service for the, like, end user.
I was like, you just subscribe for the time period you want, and, you know, subscribe and change it around.
I've actually heard that that's a really good method. You just, because they don't really have penalties, you know, like, oh,
no.
It's more expensive for new people. It's always going to be cheaper for new people.
Well, it might be the same price.
Right, and they don't make you subscribe for, you know, like 6 months or a year at a time. So it's like 1 month. So it's like, you know, I missed that whole Game of Thrones thing. I want to watch all of it. And then you pay $15. You got HBO for a month. At the end of the month, if you're still watching HBO, you pay for another. Otherwise, you jump ship, go to Netflix, see what they have going on.
I think with Game of Thrones, you'll be on there for at least 2 or 3 months. That's a lot of content to watch.
It depends on how much time you have, all this other stuff.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I spent multiple weekends watching just Game of Thrones. That's all I did. It still took me like a month or two to do it. So.
And there's always the, 14 years of South Park? 15, 20?
I don't know.
So actually, it is. It's
so
over, I think it's 20 years of South Park.
Who has Simpsons on their streaming platform right now?
Disney.
Disney's
going to get... Disney has the rights to it.
They're going to get one of our coworkers. He loves that show.
I don't know if they're going to stream it, but they have the rights to Disney.
Really?
Later. Yeah, others.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
He has a license plate that's a reference to that show.
Oh, right.
So you also can get free in some of these. Like if you have T-Mobile, you get Netflix. If you have Verizon, you get Disney's. If you buy most Apple products, you're going to get Apple's.
For a year.
If all these are either for a year or for however long things are offered.
So we just need to get a few different phone providers,
exactly.
And then you get free streaming services.
No, you just two phone providers and buy an iPhone.
Man, that that could make some, like, usually, you know, you're like, okay, two people in a house, family plan it up. But now it's like, now you get Verizon, I get T-Mobile so that we can get some free perks.
So that's the nice thing about Disney's also is it is a family of six. So that price, it's a family of six. And they haven't, they actually talked about any limitations on it except for everyone gets to watch. So I think you can straight up pull what everyone jokes around with Netflix is that, oh, yeah. Okay, that household owns that one. That household owns that one. This
Bill, my brother.
What's up?
Do we want? Can we be on a family plan for Disney Plus together?
We just need three more people now.
Oh man!
Wait, who has a Verizon account?
I do.
Hey, brother. Oh, hey, guys.
We're best friends all of a sudden.
Yeah. Hey, it was your idea, so
I don't think it applies to prepaid.
Oh,
mine's
hey.
Not prepaid.
I know, and I'm.
That's okay. I get six accounts, apparently, for my brothers.
Oh, yeah, hey.
For 1 year. Oh, man, that's the nice thing about T-Mobile's over everyone else's. It's just included with my plan.
That's Netflix, right?
Yeah, it's Netflix. But it's not a bad one to have.
It's right. SD, though, it's the only,
it's
right?
a very good one.
But you pay to upgrade it to another tier.
I can.
Right? Yeah.
I think when Netflix raised their price, actually, I do have a $2 cost, but I'm like,
at the same time, though, SD is, what, 720p? I don't think it's kicking
out
480.
No, SD is 480.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's probably worth
HD, HD is considered 720 and 1080. Ultra HD is anything higher than 1080.
16K.
Technically, 1460 or whatever I think is considered ultra.
Oh, like the 1440 by...
Yeah, 1440. And then, yeah, anything higher than that is just ultra, including the 8K.
Cool. 8K is so ridiculous.
8K exists.
I mean, who has like a gig line into their house?
Not us, but I do know some people that do.
Yeah. One day.
One day.
Maybe.
Someday.
Probably not.
We can just go back to buffering. What's old is new again, guys.
Yeah.
Come on.
Go red line, or go gray line, go.
So with the sidetrack, the NBA is now available for direct streaming with no cable or satellite provider.
Yay, sports ball.
Yay.
That's a big deal, though. I mean, it's kind of interesting, though. Usually you would expect, like, ESPN or something to have these games.
That's Disney.
But these guys are going out on their own, you know, NBA. It's like
Will
the
they
NFL.
Be on Disney Plus?
ESPN?
ESPN is on Disney.
Well, okay. ESPN. Okay, so Disney will have Hulu, ESPN Plus, and Disney Plus. And you can subscribe to all three.
Oh, okay.
Under one package, eventually, I think, is what they were saying. Or they, oh, no, you can, but if you do it that way, it's Hulu with commercials.
So, I do not like that everything is kind of splitting out, you know, and it's like, okay, if I want to watch this show, I got to get this provider. If I want to watch this other thing, I got to get this provider. If I want to watch sports, I got to subscribe to that specific type of sport streaming service. But I kind of like it at the same time because it's cable, but you're not stuck with the whole package.
Yeah.
You can kind of pick and choose better.
And this one's not terrible. It's, you know, $6.99 a month or $59.99 for the year. So you could pay for the year up front. And if you're into sports.
That's really not too bad, actually, for a sports package. Those are usually pretty expensive.
Doesn't Dish, like... charge like, or no, DirecTV, don't they charge like $250 for the NFL package?
Yeah, like the Sunday ticket or whatever. It's really spendy, and so that one's not bad. And I mean, I know a few people who are like really big on like basketball, and so this is probably a steal for them.
And if this is your jam, it's not mine,
right?
But I do understand. That's why everyone talking about like esports, and they're like, I don't get esports and all this. And I've talked to various people. Some people are like, well, that's it. I'm not into sports. So this is what it is. Esports is, you know, it's just bugging me. Esports, you are watching people play. I think I actually talked about this last week. Nothing about it.
No, continue.
All right.
You're already into it.
Esports, you are watching people play and you get to talk with them. It's like watching the NFL. Watching the Super Bowl.
Not always.
Not always. You're right. Sometimes they're in a competition.
Like the tournaments, you can't do that.
But
generally.
But these individuals, so you get to watch these people practice,
mm-hmm.
and you get to actually have conversations with them while they're practicing or playing around or doing the minor games.
What's the most fun is the people who are doing speedruns.
Yeah.
And whenever they ultimately fail, because it's like 99% of the time they fail, the chat just like goes nuts. They're like, "Oh man."
Yeah, they're all so invested in it.
Yeah.
They're there with the player the whole time, and it's a lot more one-on-one.
So, if, you know, watching people being into their sports ball or whatever, soccer, football, baseball, basketball, all that, you know, you watch, these are your things, just like with that. Now, esports is just a new thing. And there's entire stadiums being built. There's brand new stadiums being built for esports specifically. There are old warehouses that are being converted into esports conventions or stadiums.
Yeah, it's going to be the next huge thing. I mean, it's already overtaking a lot of sports for trophies and stuff, like winnings. There's $1 million, multi-million-dollar jackpots for these things.
But like for league or for what's the other one?
And it's split between a couple of people league. Instead of an entire team and all the support Dota. Staff. Oh yeah, Dota.
Dota is also really big too.
Well, and that's the other thing is that sometimes like Dota, you're not there is multiple leagues just like there is with football.
Yeah,
there are XFL, NFL. Other FLs.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a league for Heroes of the Storm. Not Heroes of the Storm. Maybe Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah, but there is with all these other.
Yeah.
So there are, you're part of a league that you play with other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun. I'm sure there's some crossover. Because, you know, just like the idea of with, you know, East and West side.
I don't know that that's a thing yet.
I could see it happening. It'd
I can too. Like, you have what's like the All Stars, like NBA All Stars, for example.
Yeah,
you'll have like League of Legends All Stars or something. Or like, they'll put two teams together,
or an Olympic version of it. The top players from each of the teams.
Oh man, I could totally see esports becoming an Olympics game.
Exactly.
I'd be down for it. It'd be cool.
I mean, it's like watching anyone who's, you know, an expert at something. It's just awe-inspiring to watch. You know, you see some guy run crazy fast. You're like, dang, that's awesome. Like, even if you don't know, you know, how, like, fast that is, like, you're like, that's extremely fast from my point of view. Mm-hmm. And so you see these people, like, micro and macro manage, like, the heck out of each other. And you're like, wow, that's really cool.
And, you know, it's not completely impossible because snowboarding was in the X Games for, like, a decade before it got into the Olympics.
Right, and so, I mean, really, you just have to think about, like, what's the purpose of the Olympics? Is it to show off humans' abilities? Because, I mean, games can definitely do that.
A lot of mental and thought process, yeah.
Yeah.
Your clickability. How fast can you click?
Yeah, it's all about reaction times.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta get those little pings. So, speaking of pings, and speaking of November, isn't Google Stadia supposed to come out this month or something?
Yes,
month.
So that's something else also I realized, is Google chose a very interesting name.
Stadia?
Yes.
Why?
Do you know what Stadia is?
No.
The word Stadia.
No.
It is the Latin plural for stadium.
Oh.
So we usually call stadiums, we put an S. We do that apparently with a lot of Latin words. Back on the, you know, words, we're back into words again and, you know, education and all that. So I thought that was, I kept on reading Stadia. I'm like, why does this sound familiar? And I ended up looking it up. So Stadia is a stadiums.
Ooh.
And that's what Google chose, is stadiums.
Interesting.
Or the plural of stadium. But yeah, okay. So yes, Google Stadia.
Yeah, it's still only for pre-order.
Correct.
And I don't know what, they don't have a release date. It just says for later this month, I think.
No, they had it earlier.
And I'm just really curious how everybody's going to, like, how they deal with the latency issues.
It is coming out on November 29th. There you go. I knew they announced 19th. It. That's what I meant. Just take off 10 days off of what I said.
Yeah.
Depending on when you listen to the podcast.
Yeah, when you listen to this. So that's kind of coming around the corner. Are you going to try it out?
I didn't pre-order. I have to admit. I'm more into my phone games.
Just wait until Black Friday and then it'll go on sale.
Yeah.
Well, Black Friday will be like a week after that.
Exactly.
Maybe. Yeah.
Or actually, I was thinking about upgrading my Fitbit to my...
I don't know about that. Now
It means I'm going to have my Google Assistant built into my watch
instead. Now that Google
instead.
Owns them, they're going to run them into the ground.
Yeah.
Because that's what they do with everything they buy.
Not everything. They're not as bad as Yahoo.
Hey, be nice. At least they let you fall in love with it before they murder it in front of you.
No, someone else built the love into it. They're just going to murder it.
So what's nice about them buying Fitbit is that Fitbit actually has a product that is physically in people's hands.
Yeah.
Unlike that phone that was still in beta.
And phone?
Remember the phone that you could put your phone together? You could add in more RAM or add a different camera and
wrap it all together?
Yeah. That thing was still in beta. That thing had been kickstart money raising.
Mm-hmm.
Fitbit is actually in people's hands and has been for quite a few years. Or on people's wrists, I guess.
Fitbit kind of helped murder Pebble by acquiring their software team.
Yeah.
Or raised it from
the ashes.
Yeah, I guess so. But, I mean, maybe they could have, struggled or hustled a little bit, and then they could have not died.
They let them struggle for, 3 years.
I still think it would have been really cool if Fitbit released an e-ink one.
Yeah.
I was really hoping for that, and I still haven't seen it. I really liked my e-ink watch.
Because this one, the one I have, it could last, it lasts a week, but if it were e-ink, it'd probably last, two.
Or a month,
yeah. Because it's just a tiny display.
All it's got to do is count steps and update your step count every, couple minutes.
Yeah, instead it's a white-on-black LCD.
So I'm thinking, okay, let's Google Stadia back on this.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I kind of want to see how things go.
I can see the good parts of it, but I still don't know how they're going to handle the latency. No one talks about it.
Yeah. And that's my internet provider, I can't even watch DC's streaming network because of my internet provider, and that it is my internet provider.
Yeah.
Oh, which I love. I got an email from them lately. They're like, "We appreciate you being a customer, and we're just an awesome company, and we appreciate you." If you're wondering, I'm at Sparklight or whatever the cable
one. Sparklight.
Is it Sparklight?
It is Sparklight.
Yeah, that was funny. We bought a terrible company called Cable One. Now we got to do some help.
I made them jump through some hoops to set up internet at our makerspace.
Yeah.
It took four appointments, and two of the appointments had four texts there. It was crazy.
Wow.
But they did it. No problem.
All right.
No charge to me.
Good.
So that's cool.
But does it work?
It actually does.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it only dropped out once.
Yeah, it's not the fastest, but I mean,
it works.
All right.
But yeah, Stadia, latency, unless they have some weird AI thing trying to interpret your inputs before you actually make them.
You know, that could be fun, though. Then it's just AI versus AI.
Yeah.
Hey, you're right. It could be, but...
But is it AI, or is it just predictive analytics?
Maybe they'll only have turn-based games or ones that are very latency-tolerant, I was going to say platformers, but those aren't very latency tolerant.
No, they have. They actually, the first game they demoed was what? Assassin's Creed?
They actually, you could have played, if you have gotten on the beta way back when, you could have played Assassin's Creed on Chrome way, way back, 2 years ago. So there was stuff, but, that's a single player game.
Yeah, but if you have low ping, let's say you're at 25 milliseconds or something, that's only 50 milliseconds round trip. So. But it does have to render and decide what you're actually doing in that. So
I think they keep those separate.
Is 80 milliseconds okay for ping?
I don't think so. It depends on the game. But think about if you have a TV you were playing on an original or one of those first big LCD screens, the input lag on it. It's just. I don't know that it would, and they're probably only 20 milliseconds. I think it'd be very noticeable very fast.
Yeah, you're right. They only talk about the download
Yeah, they
speeds.
Only talk about the speeds. They don't ever talk about latency, ever.
I guess we'll find out on November 19th.
I don't know if they just think everybody only has 10 millisecond ping or what.
It says I can stream at 4K.
If you have 35 meg download.
Yeah, which, sure, you could stream it. Is it going to be playable, though?
It'll look so pretty, though.
It'll look very pretty.
It'll look laggy pretty.
No, I mean, the stream's going to look fine. It's just your inputs. You press a button and then your character does a thing. All that'll look fine. It's just, it'll feel very clunky when you're jump, and then your guy's jump.
Yeah.
Or what will be even more fun is it like you it gets the input like later. Like it gets a couple of them. Let's say you're playing like Dark Souls or something. You press roll, and then it waits 30 seconds till you're at the edge of a cliff.
Three more times.
And then it rolls off. Dark Souls will do that on its own anyways, but...
Well, won't Destiny 2? Destiny 2 is included with all this now, too.
Well, I think they're including it for... Like, I think games are just going to be on here.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be tons of games.
Maybe they have something really clever with UDP, so it can just send packets super-duper fast, no acknowledgements, and maybe it'll work decently.
Well, it's still going to only go as fast as the internet.
I mean, most games that you're playing nowadays are interacting with a server anyway, right? So what's the difference?
Yeah, but
the...
it's still not processing your input, though, directly.
But I mean, it's still doing it indirectly, and your character moves and whatever, so maybe...
It is, but...
So apparently, Google has a way to test to see how good you can get.
They're just going
to
tell you that you can do 4K.
Yeah, because it's probably just doing download speed.
It's not going to tell you the quality of everything.
Yeah, you're probably right. My download speed is...
So Bill has a download speed of 2.442 megabits. That's very accurate, but it is below the 10 megabits we recommend to stream games on Stadia.
Improve your internet connection and try again. As if it's that easy.
Bill, you may need to call Sparklight.
Yeah, apparently. Let's just... You know,
I think that's going to connect to Google again.
Yeah, like let's at least try speedtest.net. Like, I pay for, like, 150
or 250.
Okay,
you still have it open, so yeah, after this is done.
You may need to call them.
If it finishes. Oh, you have a good ping, but this is Cable One's own server.
Yeah, but 9 milliseconds of ping, you're getting about 50 megs down.
Yeah, I think I still need to call Cable One and get... Either I need to get a better wireless modem in this thing.
Change the... server that you're on, because it is using Cable One's own speed test server. That is the only reason why your ping's that low.
Oh, I see. The ping of
once
9.
It has to go out of their network, it jumps up to like 50,
so
which is ridiculous.
Maybe Google is also going to finally release their Cable One fiber optic cable that you flush down the toilet. And then it was an April Fool's thing a while back, but they said they'd mail you a kit. You would put this modem on the back of your toilet, and you would flush a fiber optic cable down into the sewer. A technician would be along shortly to hook you up to Google Fiber.
Yeah, I remember that.
So is this what you're talking about?
Change server.
And there is a better one.
So pick the direct communications one.
Okay.
Then hit just go.
There is a better one that actually hits multiple, so it actually goes, this is the average of everybody. So from my house to direct communications. Went from a ping of 9 to 61.
Yeah, and that's... Even though they're, like, physically... Like, those two servers are close to each other.
Yeah.
You lost 50 milliseconds of ping.
Yeah. And 10 meg download. It's really said my upload is actually...
So this is Mbps. What was... Go to your speed test again for the Stadia.
2.
I know.
MVP. 2.
Okay, I was just checking the units to see if they... Because, like, even though you have 50, you're actually, like, your speed that you actually download at is, like, I think it's an eighth of that.
Yeah, my upload speed...
Units are weird.
Yeah.
They advertise the the smaller unit, so it appears better.
Megabits versus megabytes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot, yeah.
Yeah.
Whether
so
it's
I was wondering if Google's was...
By the 100 or by the 1.
I was wondering if they were doing the smaller version or if they were doing the bigger one, and it looks like they're doing the bigger one still.
Usually, they all just lie to you, actually.
I mean...
Very round.
Oh, well, yeah.
In their favor, not in yours.
Yeah, I mean, hard drives aren't actually, you know...
Terabytes?
1024 gigs for a terabyte. It's like 1,000 gigs.
If sometimes when you open them up, they're
like
98.
They're like 938.
Yeah, some
you lose a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that just depends on if it's calculating with the gigabit or a gigabyte.
Yeah.
All right. So apparently, I can't play that because Sparklight is terrible.
No, you can. It's just not gonna.
Yeah, they don't recommend it.
Well.
No, that's 10 supposed to be the lowest you're supposed to be able to.
Yeah, that's
be allowed.
The recommended. You can still do it.
Oh.
You do 60 you.
60 frames per second.
Yeah, you'll probably
life.
Be at
YOLO.
Like.
Two?
No, you'll probably be at SD 30 frames a second.
Ooh.
If I had to guess.
All right. Okay, well, we're back with Google. Sticking with Google.
What is Google Play Points?
Google Play Points is you spend money, you get points.
Oh, so it's like a rewards program? Like a credit card rewards program?
Except where you can tie Google to a credit card, so then you can earn credit card points while you earn Google Play Points.
Yes.
Yeah, I heard you like points.
So you
stack.
You also get...
Oh, and you can use them to buy points in your games.
Yes.
It's points all the way down.
See, what points in your games, points for your Google Books, points for your Google Movies.
Your Google Stadia.
Exactly.
For your Google Home, your Google Nest, your Google Life.
So, let's see, is this the... So there's also levels. You start off, I signed up for it. You have like 7 days where you have a multiplier on it.
Of course.
Yes. And then you're back on the bottom level. Of course.
Can you buy in to get back onto that multiplier?
Yeah, spend more money.
Is that really a thing?
Yes.
Because
that
that's ridiculous.
Oh, no, they're gamifying Google Play.
That's so dumb.
Time for me to get an Apple device.
Oh, don't worry, they'll gamify it too.
I don't know that. Well, I would have said the same thing about Google, so.
No, that's not it. I lost it. You go away. Ah! Look at all that.
This is just more proof that your internet sucks.
Yeah, it works. Sometimes.
Welcome to Sparklight.
I know. But you can join for free. And so as you go up through the levels, your multipliers go up. When you hit the top level, you actually get a weekly prize. They give you something every week.
Oh, that's terrible.
You play to win.
How much do you have to pay to...
Or pay to win?
Yeah, pay,
yeah,
to,
pay
win.
To win.
Yeah, you pay to win.
You pay to play to win.
Yes.
How much do you have to pay to win the weekly prize that resets weekly?
Okay, so it's going to reset at the end of December. So I'm thinking it might be annually, and it just started up, so that's whether, unless it's a couple month thing.
How much are we talking here, Bill?
So you need 3,000 points.
And what does that equate to?
$1.1.
Most of the time.
Oh, God. That's a lot of money.
You get the multipliers on...
That's a lot of money to spend on Google.
Yes. So you get multipliers on books and movies straight off the bat. Everyone, that's the base of it. It's like 3 points per... I'm trying to remember off the top of my head because it won't load. But I remember... I looked through it. There's gold plans. Hey, look, there's an image that's very terrible. Never mind. So you get bonuses for also buying stuff through certain apps. You get these points to then turn into getting stuff for various apps or turning into Google money to then turn around and spend it again, obviously.
Like turning into like money or just like
Google credit.
Google credit. Dang, I was wondering if they would. This could be like a way to get like money. Like real world money.
Only if you're an Apple product. Kind of like Google Rewards.
Well, yeah. Uh-huh. That one. Yeah.
So it says up to 4 times points. So that still means you have to spend like $666 to get like 3,000 points.
Which if it was yearly, I could see it happening.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Where it expires at the end of December, I'm like, man, that is a lot to just burn through this moment.
Right, and that's to get you up to that level where you actually get the prize or whatever.
Yeah, the weekly free junk. Probably. Yeah.
I mean, every once in a while, I'll rent a movie on Google Play, I'll buy a book, I'll, like, purchase an app, but, like, lifetime on my, like, Android phones, I've probably only spent about $600 on apps and in-app purchases.
Oh, I'm surprised you're that high.
That's years, though. That's, you know, like, the last 10 years.
I also was thinking about, they don't really talk much about the subscriptions.
Yeah, do those count?
I hope so.
Probably not.
I know, well, probably.
Is it an in-app purchase?
It's through the Play Store.
Maybe.
YouTube Premium.
Yeah.
It is through, you cancel that through the Play Store. Same thing if you subscribe to HBO through Google, through the Play Store.
Yeah, my Netflix is through there too.
Yeah.
And so my Pandora.
If all these things that are through the Play Store, that means that you are paying them. So the money could actually add up fairly quickly over if it's an over a year thing.
If that works, though. If the subscriptions work. Which I could kind of see them saying.
Let's see
nah.
here. So yeah. it's 1 point for every dollar spent, up to 4 times points in games during weekly events, and up to 2 times points on movie rentals and books during monthly events.
Well, that's during the events. It does on, I think, the gold or platinum plan, it does go up to 4.
Yeah, so as soon as you start bumping up, so it's 1.1 point if you get to the silver. And then
but for every dollar. That's also normal spending. That's not any of the specialty.
Right. It's still up to 4 times on the games, and then up to 3 times on movies and books during the specials, up to 50 points. So they have caps on how much you can earn once you get a multiplier in place. Gold gets you 1.2 points, 4 times on the games, 4 times on the movies and books, and that's for up to 200 points. And then platinum is 1.4 points, 4 times on the games, up to 5 on the movies and books, and up to 500 point cap.
Oh, also at the platinum, you get premium support. I forgot about that.
For what?
Means when you call up customer service, you're number one, along with all the other platinum people.
So
it has got over 3,000 points.
I don't know if I like that.
It says that your point balance expires 1 year after your first points activity, including earning or using points. And so,
well, your points may expire, but. Oh, I can see that. So use your points up.
Is it like a fuel meter and like they'll start expiring and you have to keep adding them to keep your status?
No, because the status is based off of, and this is, they didn't really explain it well in the app, but I'm finding in their website they explained it well in answers. Your status is based off of the calendar year. So it's kind of like Starbucks app? Do you have a Starbucks account?
I don't have one.
Okay, Starbucks is also this way. You have it, well, Starbucks is actually better. Because I think theirs is even, you have it for the year, for 1 year after you hit gold status. Theirs is, it's for the calendar year, so January to just the end of, beginning of January to the end of December. They just started so late this year that you are now, it's not even worth to run to the platinum level. But your points, so you can also take all your points that you've gained and you cash them in to get your spending money or whatever else. Those expire after a year. So those are like your fuel points or whatever. You have to use them or lose them.
I feel like this is going to be used as a social standing within Google. So they're going to be like, oh, you're a platinum member. You can return your phone that you broke.
They do say you get premium support. So like, it's kind of like that already.
Yeah. And then they're going to be like, you're a platinum member or you're only a bronze member or silver. So you're trash.
So this also talks about you get a silver weekly prize and a gold weekly prize. Again, in the app, I did not see that. So their Q&A page.
That's surprising because most of the time their website actually has less information than the app does.
Yeah, I'm getting more off their app.
So that's website. Really surprising for them.
I mean, it's kind of cool that you can like get a couple of points and you can maybe buy an extra app throughout the year.
Or that upgrade in your app.
It's weird that there's all these tiers and things.
So are you platinum level?
I don't think so. I think I spent like $20 on Pokemon Go this year.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But did you sign up? So that's the other thing. Even though you have spent the money, have you signed up for this?
No.
Then you're not even you're not even bronze. You are below bronze
I'm
right now.
Such trash.
I'm at least bronze right now.
Man, if I call Google support, they're not even going to answer the phone.
Nope, they don't care about you.
They'll just hang up my phone remotely.
speaking of support, you have the first Pixel, right?
I do. It just fell off.
It falls off in December. They are doing one more in December.
I know. I need to look and see if there's like a firmware for it or if I actually have to go get a new phone.
I mean, you can still keep using it.
I recommend OnePlus.
Yes, OnePlus.
I've heard this recommendation by like 10 people, and I haven't asked anyone for a recommendation on a new phone.
Well, you were saying I need to start looking, so we're just,
I know.
We're just gonna give it to you.
This is the first time
I was excited about
the recommendation.
I was excited about it, and I wanted someone else to experience it excitement because I'm not gonna get it.
The OnePlus,
yeah, because I have an iPhone.
Is it worth it? Is it really that good?
So my Bluetooth is giving me enough problems. I'm really back on that fence again.
Oh.
I'm standing on it. I'm looking over the edge.
So what's thinking this phone about called?
OnePlus.
Is it HTC?
No, it's not. OnePlus.
The word company is OnePlus.
The word one and the word plus.
Oh, man. Is it like the OnePlus 7? Oh, man. Let's see here. They got a website. Is it 7T? Is that the cool one right now?
I don't know.
I think the 7T is the latest one. It's either 7T or 7 Pro.
90 hertz display. It's $599.
Yeah. Like, it has, like, it's leaps and bounds better than Google's, and it's cheaper.
And all of their phones that they have produced will support Android 10.
Interesting.
Years upon years of phones
they've been around for, like, at least 5 years, too.
Yeah.
That's cool.
They're actually one of the best phone companies out there. And also, the other thing I recommend, don't buy it through your provider. Just go to their website, buy it through them, because they need updates come through them.
That's a good plan.
My phone...
And it's unlocked.
Yeah, well, it's unlocked, but my phone is the special version, T-Mobile version.
One, yeah.
If I would have actually forced an upgrade to 9, or whatever it's called, Oreo... Whatever. No, Pi. To Pi.
Mm-hmm.
I actually would have bricked my phone.
Nice.
Yeah. I was like, well, that's terrible.
Like, it gave you the option?
I ended up doing my homework first. Apparently, it did give people options, and they bricked phones.
That's nice.
But we should probably wrap things up.
Okay.
So, famous last words?
I welcome my HBO Max overlords.
Do you know what gets me down? Gravity.